Our service for this morning begins on page 203. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life.
Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. At this time, I will direct you to your bulletin. The introit can be found on the right side. God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of the trumpet.
The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind.
You are priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord is at your right hand.
You will shatter kings on the day of his wrath.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
God has gone up with a shout.
The Lord with the sound of the trumpet.
We continue with the Kyrie on page 204. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray together the collect of the day as it's found in your bulletin. Let us pray.
Grant, we pray, Almighty God, that even as we believe your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
to have ascended into heaven, so we may also in heart and mind ascend and continually dwell there with him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated for the readings. The first reading. The first reading for the ascension of our Lord comes from Acts chapter 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading comes from Ephesians chapter 1. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel.
Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, I will direct you to page 206 as we confess together our God-given faith using the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all world, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and Giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated. Our next hymn is number 492. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
We're all familiar with how life works. There is cause, and then there is effect. There is action, and then it causes reaction. There are choices that we make in life, and those choices have consequences, sometimes good and sometimes bad. Even as you look at the cycle of life, each person has to start as an infant, continue through childhood, adolescence, young adulthood, and so on into their life. Any large project that you might begin, it has to start with step one, and it can't come to the last step until you've finished all the ones that come before it. Throughout life, we learn that there is necessary sequential order that must unfold. The same is true for Christianity. Way back when God made the world perfect, humanity screwed it up. And then you get the entirety of the Old Testament that unfolds and overflows, and then you have Jesus, and at the right time, God sent his Son to be born into the world. All of these things had to take place in proper order. You can't have Jesus being born into the world if there aren't any human beings here yet. You can't have humanity's fall into sin if God hadn't created. In the same way, as we consider all of the different church, the big high feast days in the church, we have to take them all in order. And so Advent starts first, right? You hear about the Annunciation to Mary, that she will have a baby. And of course, if you don't hear that, then you don't get Christmas Day. And if Jesus isn't born, then he can't reveal himself as God's Son. And if he doesn't reveal himself as God's Son, then the crucifixion really doesn't mean anything. And if you don't get the crucifixion, how can you have a resurrection? And of course, as we come to today, Jesus can't ascend into heaven unless he has first been raised from the dead. But what does the ascension lead to? What comes next? Jesus seemingly disappears behind a cloud, and then nothing. Well, Ascension is of the utmost importance, too. It ranks right up there with all of these holidays I have since mentioned. Our text, for this evening, it shares these words. Then Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. Or maybe if you prefer the reading from Acts, it goes, as they were looking on, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Well, as Christians who live in the world today, of course, we look at the ascension and we go, well, Jesus is going to remove his earthly presence from us. And we go, a blessing? Hardly. That sounds a lot like a curse. Why would Jesus want to remove his earthly presence from his disciples? And really, why are we here to celebrate that? The reason why we rejoice is because this is part of the ministry. This is the necessary sequential order for Christianity, not just to be for the Jews, but for the entire world. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. This is that time. It is now the time when Jesus will send the promise of his Father. It is time for the gospel message to be proclaimed to all nations, beginning with Jesus' disciples in Jerusalem, but being carried to the four corners of the earth. And this message has continually been spread since his ascension. And this message has continually made root in billions of people's hearts. I mean, we may lament the absence of Jesus' presence with us. In fact, we may lament the decline of the church in our midst. But Jesus actually accomplishes far more in his ascension than he ever could have accomplished had he remained here. You see, if Jesus is still, you know, confined to an earthly location, his earthly body, so to speak, and if he doesn't fill all of the heavens and all of the earth in his ascension, then it means that he can't be here. He'd be stuck somewhere else. In someone else's church. But Jesus isn't just localized in one place any longer. And so let's consider the order of things again, right? Jesus, as God's Son, he humbles himself to be born of a virgin. He takes on human flesh. He's born under the law as a human being that he might fulfill it perfectly. And upon fulfilling it, he suffers, he bleeds, he dies. And his lifeless body hangs there, that way you might have eternal life. He's raised from the dead in victory. And of course, he ascends into heaven. But don't think for a minute that there his work ends. That wasn't the end of Jesus' ministry. Certainly, maybe the end of his earthly body being with us as it was during those 3 years that he walked around on this earth. But Jesus' ministry is ongoing. He is a resurrected and conquering king, and so he deserves to be on a throne. As we confess in the Creed, he sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, ruling in power. And how does he do it? He sends forth his word. He sends his Holy Spirit, just as he promised, into the hearts of his Christians through simple preaching. He continually gives his church the gift of baptism. That whenever we need to welcome someone into God's kingdom, he says, just put some of this water on their head and say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will do things far beyond your comprehension. He says, every time that you as a church gather together and you receive my body and blood according to my institution, along with my word, you will have forgiveness, and I promise I will be there with you. And so he is. Everything in good order. Jesus is here with us now because he has ascended into heaven. Because he has all power. Because he has filled both the heavens and the earth. And you know what? There's actually another church in our circuit, way over in Manitou. They're having an Ascension Day service right now. And you know what? Jesus is there too. And across our entire country, there are churches spread out who are all celebrating the fact that Jesus can go into heaven and yet still be with his church of all time and in all places. This is why the disciples leave the ascension event and they return to Jerusalem, not with a weeping, not with lamenting, not with mourning, because Jesus is somehow gone. But they do so with great rejoicing, because now Jesus can be with them in a much more profound way. He can be with them at all times and in all places, just as he promised. Isn't that what he said in the Great Commission? That, behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. My friends, your presence here is in good order too. Because as salvation has been spread forth from the ascension until now, it means that the Holy Spirit had to jump from person to person to person to person to finally make his way to you. If Jesus hadn't ascended, we would be lost. We wouldn't have the means by which faith can be created in our own hearts. And so, my friends, let us rejoice. Rejoice that Jesus isn't before our eyes. Let us rejoice that he is still with us, though, and that he still forgives our sins and gives us his power in the Holy Spirit. For Jesus has been crucified, risen, and ascended for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.